Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Tuesday, January 14th, 2025. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. And welcoming into the studio, our good friend, David Farnborough, and it's time for Realty Radio. This is a fun show we get together every month, get to talk local real estate with our good friend, David Farnborough. And David, thanks a lot for being here.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's great to be here, and I want to wish you a Happy New Year, because this is our first show of 2025.
Happy New Year to you, too. Appreciate you being here, David. And speaking of the new year, it's kind of where we're going to kick things off, discussing the new year and what 2025 has in store. Where do you want to start with that, David?
Right. Well, I'll start by looking back at the last year. And we have had some good statistics. Not everything has been published for the whole of last year, but looking at what we have, it looks like the housing market in Wisconsin Rapids performed pretty well, as did all the other local municipalities. So we're doing well in Rome, well in Stevens Point, Nicoosa, Port Edwards, Marshfield, Warsaw, Vesper, all the local places in central Wisconsin had very healthy housing markets. We saw increases in house prices more or less across the board of between about 6.5% and 8%. So there's nowhere where house prices weren't going up by more than inflation in our region. We saw a little bit more houses coming on the market than we had in the previous year. And my thinking about that is that there were probably people who maybe had investment properties that they'd been hanging on to, and they thought, well, prices are doing well. Maybe this is the time to divest myself of that and get some capital, but not a huge amount. So that was up about 10%. So we're still in a bit of a squeeze with having more buyers than we have homes on the market. Mm. And that's likely to continue to drive prices. We have seen different figures nationwide. There are some cities and some states where houses are not doing as well as they are here. But what I'm concerned with really is what's going on in the central Wisconsin area.
And David, can this be something that we can build on for 2025, how things have gone in the previous year? Is real estate, that industry similar to that? Is it like that?
It is to an extent, unless you get a hiccup. And we've had hiccups in the past. There have been huge economic changes, you know, downturns, recessions, also the pandemic, which have had large and unpredictable effects. Now, I don't see anything like that happening. People have asked me questions like, well, with a change of president, will there be a difference? And I don't really see anything from that side impacting what happens in our local housing market. When we heard what both presidential candidates said, they were both talking about increasing the housing stock because they had both been told that there were problems in that area. But as far as I can see, nobody, although politicians at all levels, local, regional, state, and national, have plans to ease the housing market by building more houses, or, you know, with various plans to maybe cut a bit of red tape to make building houses easier. I don't see that anything is going to make enough of a difference, certainly not in the next couple of years.
Hmm. Well, how does that in the outlook look for interest rates, house prices locally, statewide, some of those notes?
Well, interest rates, again, we're looking at small changes, not seismic changes. You know, unless we wake up one morning and the stock market's crashed, then, mm-hmm. or Russia's invaded or something.
Kind of changes all this whole
right.
conversation.
Then you could be looking at something totally different. But all the indicators are we're looking at small changes in interest rates, you know, maybe a quarter of a percent here or there. And it's not looking like we're going to suddenly go back to 3% loans. And really, if we did, that may cause another brief bubble, but then we'd have to recover from that as well. So I'm quite happy to see it steady.
Yeah.
So people know what they're going to get. You're looking at, you know, something between 6.5% and 7.5% in most cases for your loans.
And I know that a topic that has been a part of this segment, whether it was with JR or you or anybody that we've really talked to, is the inventory and needing more of that. How is that looking in 2025?
Well, there's, like I said, there's nothing really that's big that's going to happen in those terms. Locally, I do see a few new house building projects. Some of them look pretty impressive. I know that over in the Robinson Park area, Roosh are building some very nice looking homes. Now, I don't know what their plans are for them because I know they have rental properties, but looking at the type of homes, I believe those will be coming on the market for sale. But you're talking about, I think, 8 to 10 homes. And similarly, there's the big development by Anchor Bay where they've got a lot of riverside homes planned. And those, I'm sure, will be beautiful and very high priced. But the volume and the rate at which they're being built is not really going to make a significant difference to what we're doing when we're going out and looking for a house in Wisconsin Rapids.
And this kind of leads us into the upcoming year and whether it's going to be good for buyers to move this year. For those that can't afford, they have to move this year, that's certainly a non-starter. But there are plenty of people out there that maybe have been thinking about this or kicking the can down the road or working on it. Should they look at this year, maybe looking into, making this a bigger plan in 2026? How is it looking for that?
Well, like I said, there are always unpredictable things, but from everything we can tell, we're not going to see any major difference except that prices are going to continue to go up by more than the rate of inflation. So if you're thinking of putting it off for a year, then in a year's time, you might be buying a more expensive home than you would be buying now. Now, that might suit your personal needs because you might have a job where you're likely to be earning a lot more next year. And if that's where you are, that might be what's good for you. Having said that, the thing that mostly drives people to move home is their own personal circumstances. So if you need an extra bedroom because your baby's on the way, then probably not a good idea to put it off and have a cramped situation any longer than you need to. Or if you need to downsize, or if you're thinking that you're maybe in your 70s or 80s and you want a place that's all on one level, then sometimes those things are best not put off, because the older you get, the harder it gets to move house.
And when it comes to as far as whether or not to buy or not, that's something that they can reach out to you about, David, find out, get a little information on.
Oh, absolutely they can. I'm happy to talk to people whether or not they're actually going to be my clients for buying or selling. I'm happy to have a chat. Feel free to contact me on Facebook, or you can just text me or call me. I'll be giving my number at the end of the show. And I'll be happy to talk about whether it might make sense for you to buy this year, or perhaps later on this year if you don't want to move while it's still a little bit chilly.
And keep that in mind when it comes to the other side of this, whether it will be a good year to sell or not for those who trade up, kind of on that part of things, David.
Yes, that's right. There are different circumstances in play for people who are selling. Now, I have said that there is a shortage of houses, and this does give what we call a seller's market, but it's not so much of a seller's market as some people believe. So I have seen a lot of people pricing their houses unrealistically because they think, oh, house prices have gone up, let's just stick another $50,000 on the price ticket. And you can't do that, really. You have to price your house realistically, even if the price will be more than it was last year. It won't be 50% more. It'll only be 8% more than it would have been last year. So if you can hang on to your house for another year, you might get a little bit more money. But again, we're not talking about huge amounts. Also, if you're buying and selling, that will depend really on whether you're trading up or whether you're trading down, and that will affect the outcome as well. So if you're buying now, you're going to get a little bit more than you did last year, but you're going to be paying for your house you're selling, but the house you're buying, you're going to be paying a little bit more for as well. Now, if you're buying a house that's, say, twice the price of the one you're selling, then you're going to lose a little bit on that because the prices have gone up. But if you're downsizing, then you're going to be doing a little bit better because of the price increase.
One thing that I hadn't really thought much about until kind of prepping for one of our shows a little while back, David, was the idea that you have to be patient in this industry. I imagine for you in your position, but certainly for buyers and sellers of homes, it's one of those things where you probably want to be able to get this done as quick as possible, but it's something that you really need to be able to take a step back, take your time with, approach in a strategic manner.
I would always advise people to do that. Once in a while, I do get a client who comes along, they see a house and they want to buy it. They put an offer down, the offer's accepted, and they're in there. I had it happen once where it was 20 days from when the client first walked into my office to when they were moving in to their house. And that is very unusual. And that was a cash buyer as well. The more common thing is that most people will see about 5 to 10 houses before they find one they really like. Sometimes they will put an offer in, that first offer won't be accepted. And then armed with the experience, they'll maybe put in another offer on a different place, and that will be the one that they eventually buy. And that process can take a little bit of time, but it is worth making sure that you've got somewhere that really feels like home. Don't just buy any old house. Buy somewhere that can be a house, can be a home rather than just a house. And for me as a realtor, it does demand a lot of patience. I've had clients who come to me and they say, well, I'd like to see a few houses, and they see quite a few and then decide they're going to take a break and come back to it in a year's time. And that's okay, because in a year's time, I'll have a note on my calendar to call that person and say, hey, you said you were going to wait here. I just wanted to check whether the time was right. So that's the way I treat people. You know, for me, they're not just clients for one transaction. They're going to be my clients for life, or that's my aim anyway. And so if somebody doesn't find that this is the right time or the right home, then I'm prepared to wait for when I can help them find that perfect place.
There is certainly in our society, and it's happening more and more, where I pay for something and I want it there 5 seconds later. Where, you know, there's a lot of that going on, especially with online ordering and some of that. This is not that. This is one of those topics. There are a handful of these. For me, just as an example, if I go to a sit down restaurant, I don't mind if it takes a little while to get here. I want them to take their time with it. That's my food. I actually don't need it to show up 2 seconds after I order it. That Right. makes me wonder if it's been under a heat lamp or something like that. It's a similar situation where that patience is going to be rewarded, whether it is buying or selling your home. You want to do this the right way and listening to a real realtor when it comes to that and following that lead.
That's right. And it is a bit of a learning process. And I should emphasize that it's not just first-time buyers who need to learn. Because if you've bought a house 5 years ago or 10 years ago, then the process now is different from how it was then. There's a lot of things that have changed. There's changes to the procedure. There's changes to the law, changes to building codes. And all those things mean that it's likely to be a different situation from when you last bought or sold.
We are speaking with David Farnborough in Realty Radio, our segment we get together for every month. And David, before we get into our kind of our good cause of the month, I did have another thought going into 2025 I wanted to bring up with you. And I'm curious, because as we talk more and more about real estate, I notice at the industry that the tech world kind of it helps it out and works with it a bit. And I'm curious, in 2025, are you thinking or hearing anything else that's coming from real estate that, it was some years back where people could look up online, and I could look at a place in California if I want to online and get a whole walkthrough of it. So some of that technology that came around. Is there anything you're hearing or seeing that could make be additions coming forward in 2025, or just things that you'd even like to see?
Well, I do see more people doing what I've been doing for a number of years anyway, which is fully implementing the tech that we have. So when the way that I work is I operate a paperless office. I send people documents for signing electronically, so we don't need to mess around with me driving over to your place or you coming to see me. You can sign something in 5 or 10 minutes on your phone or on your computer, and that way you may be ahead of somebody else who's putting in an offer. So I already use a lot of that technology. On the sales side, I do use virtual tours and 3D cameras, as well as drone technology where appropriate. So I do use AI cautiously where that is appropriate as well. What I'm seeing is that a lot of my professional colleagues, my fellow realtors, are also starting to use AI more and more, and they're starting to use more of those photography techniques. And I think that's only going to get more and more efficient. I think people are going to find new ways to use AI.
That's a great way to put it.
That we haven't thought of.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. I agree more. I couldn't agree more.
One of the things that I'm being offered all the time is an AI assistant. Mm-hmm. And I have resisted that because I don't want people calling up a chat on my website and talking to a bot. Mm-hmm. I want them to talk to me personally.
You know, AI can be, and it already is and will be, a good assistant in some ways, but in other things, it couldn't be more useless.
Yes.
Especially with the industry that we're both in, whether it's entertainment or radio or whether it's real estate. These are both industries where the personal touch or that personal interaction is so vital and so needed, especially when it comes to questions being asked or just even presenting something. I think that the human and touch is what really oftentimes really brings it home for people and makes it personal. Whereas AI and some of those things, they may get some information that they can use, but it doesn't really hit home. It doesn't register the same as hearing a real voice and talking to somebody face to face, especially with one of the biggest purchases any of us make in buying a home or selling a home.
That's right. And it is no substitute for a human being in face-to-face interactions or telephone interactions. But I've also noticed that it is extremely good at handling vast quantities of data. Hmm. So if you're pulling together statistics, then it is very, very good at doing that. Hmm. It's good at giving us or at manipulating data for market analysis purposes. Hmm. And that's one of the ways in which I use it, because otherwise I'm going to be sitting down working on spreadsheets for hours.
Yeah.
Whereas if I can get an AI to take care of that cautiously, as I say, mm-hmm. You have to check their workings, because we know that the AIs can produce pictures of human beings with six fingers.
Yeah.
Then that's going to make me more efficient.
And we don't need Indega Montoya chasing him down. We don't need. I had to do that. I had to. We are going to wrap up with our good cause of the month. And David, what do you got for us?
Well, this month, Rapids Homes is supporting Special Olympics Wisconsin. It's a great cause which helps a lot of people locally who have intellectual disabilities. And for those of you who don't know, what it does is it really helps people to achieve their full potential. So they might be someone who doesn't think of themselves in a sporting competition, and this teaches them, well, you can be involved in this. You can achieve your best, you can beat other people, you can have camaraderie and friendship, and you can be included, you can be part of this group. So for all those reasons, I think Special Olympics Wisconsin does a great job in helping our local people.
They're wonderful individuals. Some of the greatest people you'll ever work with or be around are the Special Olympics teams. And I know that the Polar Plunge is a big part of their promotions. I understand you're going to be doing something like this again, aren't you?
I will be, yeah.
You are doing it again.
Yes, I decided, after I did it the second time a few years ago, I decided I was never going to do it again. And then I thought, I need a good cause for January. And And the Polar Plunge was just there, and I thought, this is the one. And I've already had some very kind people sponsor me, but I'm going to ask if you can sponsor me as well. I don't mean you, James. I mean you listening on the radio, because it's something where it does support a lot of people right here in Wisconsin Rapids. And if you want to give me a little help on that, it's on my Facebook page, my Realtor Facebook page, which is just David Farnborough Realtor. And you can also go to the Special Olympics Wisconsin Rapids page and find me there.
And SpecialOlympics.org is the website if you need if you want to find out more information about that or the Polar Plunge. And again, David, as you just were mentioning there, is that the best way to get in touch with you on your Facebook page?
That's one good way. The very best way is by texting me, 715-323-8594, because I can answer discreetly while I'm having lunch with someone, but not when I'm driving. I'm very careful with that. Or you can call me on that same number, although obviously if I'm already showing a house to someone, I won't be able to answer, but I will call you back as soon as I can.
And I do want to send a special shout out to David. You guys may not have heard it behind the scenes here or anything, but around us, there's been a ton of distractions this show. We've just been rolling with it, just been locked in. I appreciate that. Appreciate the time with you and looking forward to hanging out again next month for another edition of Realty Radio.
Thank you very much, James.
Have a good New Year's, David. Happy New Year's to you. And we'll be back with more Midday Magazine right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.